It is July 18th, 2017, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
Yes. I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition with all its eccentricities and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
Well, this is Senator Beauregard, and I expect to be here tonight. Yeah, you got so much shenanigans going on here in government. Oh, good. This head. Glad that you're here tonight. I'll be seeing you there. Maybe we'll talk about it later with you. Hi, guys. This is going to be a great night. Fabulous. Thank you, team. I love having those guys backing me up.
Coming through you.
And our show is sponsored by Go Raw. Go Raw is, it's amazing when you think that there's all this potential, nutrient potential, and you're maximizing through this product how to extract the most nutrient potential out of it so your body feels nutrientalized. And that's what you want. You want a nutrientalized.
Oh, Lord, body. Help.
And tastes good. What's not to like?
Well, Errol, what you got to say for yourself?
Oh, okay. Tonight's featured phrase is, you made that up.
No.
Yep, that's right. We made that up. As it turns out, we, people, make up a lot of stuff. The big question I have is, how much of our lives do we in fact make up? On one hand, all you have to do is to take a look at all the stuff around you. Go on, look around, look at all that stuff. We made all that up, huh? But then there's the emotional part of our lives and our beliefs. How much of that do we make up, and how much of it is caused by circumstances? Or are they the same? And how much of the good life can we make up once we realize who we really are and our relationship to the grand universe? In short, who or what makes us up? And what were they thinking? So that's why we do improv tonight, and we're going to, well, probably make it up as much as we can. There you have it.
All right. So, you made it up?
Yep. Pretty much.
Yep, I did too. I do. Every moment, step by step, I make it up. Of course, the past crops up into it, but no matter. Making it up is part of the creative spirit within us, expressing itself through us. Allowing our imagination to speak freely. Making it up is who we are. It is called living. And I made that up, too.
You made that up? So here we are, living. And what we want to focus in on is how to maximize this experience. The other night, I was meditating on, I was reading this book on physics, and one of the comments that he made was there was a certain time, not very long ago, probably within the last 100 years, when they discovered that those lights that were out there that heretofore they thought were stars were actually galaxies. And there's like 100 billion galaxies in the known universe. So you're thinking, there's these galaxies. They're big, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of big, lots of distance in galaxies, and then you narrow down to solar systems and Earth planets, and then you get really, really teensy, teensy, unbelievably tiny, and you have us. You have like creatures on the planet walking around and having an experience in this grand universe. It's mind-boggling. And so what I was hoping we could do is unboggle my mind.
Oh, my God. That takes centuries.
You know, I'm trying to think when I first got boggled. May I come in here now? This is Father O'Malley. You're talking about a boggling of mind, and I have to tell you this story. I had a parishioner come up to me tonight, at the last Mass, and he said, Father, when you put a cracker in my mouth, you know, it's like my mind doesn't know what to do with that. I mean, this is a little cracker going in, and it's supposed to represent like the body of Christ, and I don't really know what that means in the body of Christ. And so this is mind-boggling to me as a parishioner, he says to me. And I said, it doesn't really matter what you think about it. You can let your mind just boggle away. And because it's just the intent that counts. And if you have a little ritual with the wafers to help you focus your intent, well, God be with you. And any way you look at it, you know, you'll be making it up.
That's pretty modern, Father O'Malley, because that is pretty fundamental to Christianity.
Sure it is. I am a modern man here. I'm a man of my time. I don't try to keep my head in the sand like some people I know in this house, but we won't talk about them there, and it's none of my business anyway, since I'm just an invited guest there in the Strider's house, making it up as we go.
You know what I realize? I realize that there's the universe, and the material universe, let's put it that way, all the things that are, but we make up our perception of it.
We do make up our perception.
And we put a whole bunch of our emotional body into it, and our spiritual body into it, whatever it is. It's not just the thing, because we enter into a relationship with it and create a third thing. It's us, and then when we come together, there's a new thing.
I was just writing about that in my blog the other night, that there's this two-ness that happens in the universe. Two-ness. And just
it's a place you can go to, you know.
You can go to Tunis any time you want. You just need some other. You know, any other really will do when you've got Tunis.
And I like that. You made that up.
Yeah. And the whole universe just loves Tunis. And I had this insight the other night as I was writing my blog that the favorite child of evolution in the universe is relationship.
Oh, favorite child.
The favorite child.
You made that up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I don't really know if it's the favorite child, but it just seemed like a nice little metaphorical thing to ride on for a little while. As long as we're making it up.
And we are.
Well, here's the question I want to raise and perhaps propose is how can we make up the quality of society that apparently most of us want, which is one of respect, equanimity, fairness, good relationships, of course, abundance, and not being so impoverished and stricken down that you doesn't feel like you can make much of it up at all. And may I step in here? Well, of course, Senator. Well, being as y'all are talking about making it up, and you're talking about how we as a citizenry can make it up, and well, people just need to start using their imaginations a little more. Right now, everyone's just in a very reactive stage, in case you haven't noticed, and there's one reacting to the other, and the other, each one trying to make each other wrong. And I guess it helps them feel better about themselves because they must be walking a tight wire of precariousness about doubting their own right and wrongness. But we won't expect them to go. That would require that they go inside and take a look at what's motivating themselves there and take some personal responsibility for that, which is what I recommend that we need to do. And one of the best ways y'all can do it, and you're doing it right here, so Striders, is help us see the humor in the great contradictions that people are that people succumb to and give their power away to. great contradictions. Yeah, you know, these opposites, this polarity. This one's over there, and you're not going to get over here, and I'm over here, and I'm minding my own and taking care of me and mine. Well, yeah, right. That's it. You know, I have the same issue here at in the neighborhood. People's taking care of this in mind. You know, most of the people I know, they don't even vote. You know, they don't have any belief in the system at all here. And, you know, they just want to be free to make it up. That's pretty much what it is, you know.
Yeah, well, you can make up anything. You can make up violence. You can make up peace. You can make up joy. You can make up sorrow. You can make up anything. I mean, and I really do believe that we make up that which we feel we deserve.
Hmm. No. That's very important. What we feel we deserve. So let's unpack the word deserve. I love unpacking words because I like getting packages, and it's usually things that I want. And so when I have.
And bought. That's why he gets the package.
That's right. I don't wait for people to give me packages, except for USPS. That's USPS.
Oh, yisps.
Yisps. And the other one is just whoops.
You know, I find that the UPS people who deliver packages are some of the nicest people. I mean, that's a plug for the UPS.
Well,
but I mean, really and truly. And we have friends who are UPS delivery people, and they're lovely.
Well, and they've got a great job.
They must. Well, it's a hard job. I mean, you're lifting big packages all day long. Some people get very big packages. Some people get little packages. But to the delivery person, he has to pick them all up. So, she has to do that, too.
I choose to see it there. They know that it's probably 95% possibility that the people getting the packages are happy to get them.
Absolutely.
And
that's
so
the nicest thing.
So imagine each one of these packages that you place down for someone to get is something they want.
Yeah, it's usually not like the subpoena man who comes by. Nobody really likes to see
right.
him at all.
We don't like him.
I mean, he's a nice guy, but it's not what he's delivering that is fun.
You know, speaking of make it up, there's a singer by the name of Sam Tsui. And he's going to talk about how he makes it up.
Does it look like I've got everything under control? I'm good at faking it. The ice is getting thin, but I'm the only one who knows. I'm only making it up on the way. Just play it cool and take it day by day. Do what I can, and if they ask me, I say, hey, no big deal, I got it all worked out. I've got a little. Please don't think less of me. The chips are in the air. I cross my fingers when they fall and make the best of each hand I get played. Stay on my toes and take it day by day. Hey, do what I can, and if they ask me, I say, ain't no big deal, I got it all worked out. I've got a little.
Thank you, Sam Tsui. Make it up. Doesn't know what he's doing, but we can come along.
It was fun. It was like I felt like my hands got into dancing and your hands got into dancing. You said prior to this that each person making up quality allow themselves to make up the quality. Now, how can we make up the quality of society? That was your question, right? And I realized that, you know, we can't make up the quality of society. We can make the quality here, and therefore one part of the society is becoming qualified. And as each person does that, I mean, we're all part of the aggregate. So, you know, we're the ones that have to change. And that's the hardest thing for people, especially if they make up this image of themselves because they feel they deserve that. You know, we were going to do something with the word deserve. What did you say you were going to do?
We're going to unpack it. But did you just make all that up?
You better believe it.
Deserve. Well, you made this comment that what you deserve sort of determines a great extent what's coming your way if you don't feel you deserve it. I remember reading Yeshua, formerly known as Jesus the Musician.
Formerly.
And he talks about how low self-esteem is one of the two major blocks to our getting the program of finding ourselves into that substantive reality that is riddled with fecundity and life just continuing to bubble forth on and on and on and carrying me on its waves and inviting me to become conscious of this very life that is springing out of unlimited potential. And somebody is making it up. And we're it, and we're up.
Well, we're making it up. Nobody's making it up for us. I mean, because, let's see, you know, you can paint the picture, but if I don't step into the canvas, I'm not in part of that picture. So I make a choice, and people don't think they have a choice, but they do. Whatever picture is being given to them, whether they step into it or not, is their choice. And they can step out of it when it just seems like, oh, no, this isn't working for me. Or, like, we go back to the word deserved. Yep, this is what I deserve because my father and mother deserved it, and everybody I know deserves it, and therefore I deserve to live like an idiot and unhappy and with less than I need. And okay, I made all that up.
You did. That was clearly making it up.
But it's not denigrating it. Because that's what we do. That's what I do. I make it up all the time.
So I would like to invite Professor Schnitzel to come in and
Schnitzel, eh?
Yeah, and talk about how you overcome that from a scientific point of view.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's very good to be here tonight, and I'm so glad you heard me talking about this subject of deserved, what you deserve. And what people don't realize, of course, I'm coming from another language, and so I hear it brand new, and I hear the word deserve, and I hear the word dessert. And I hear deserve and dessert. So
what they are different. They are very different.
I recommend to people using a scientific method of deep hypnosis is that you go into your deep hypnosis, and while you're there, and you probably don't want to listen to my voice guiding your deep hypnosis. Maybe Eric could do that. Well, I'll do my best. Yeah, when you go into, you make an association and you think of dessert and you imagine all that that is and has been and could be, and then you imagine deserve and you mix the deserve in with the dessert.
Oh, that's a great, what you would deserve would be delicious then.
It's right there and you deserve, and ingredient you can't use is non-deserve. So that would give you a non-dessert. And you don't want that.
Oh, no, I want dessert.
Yeah.
And I made that up. In fact, I like to just eat dessert.
I made that all up.
I bet you did.
I like to make up things because every time I make something up, I surprise myself with the newness of the thought, and it causes me to break into like ecstatic clapping inside soul being, doing pirouettes inside myself.
You make up your life by living in the moment. I mean, that's the way you make it up the most, and have the most fun with it. I mean, you make it up for survival purposes too, but you, when you're in the moment, that's when you make everything up, because it comes out of the creative spirit within you.
So let's get into the moment. Hey, I can hear right away. Yeah, this is me. Where else you think I've been? This is Barney. You know, I'm going to leave the moment. I mean, what's there in, that's worth leaving the moment for? Some fabrication or imaginary possibility? You know, I'm going to leave this moment. This is the moment. Yeah, I love that. That whole phenomenon, that this is the moment we got, and in the moment. You know, what keeps you from the moment? I see guys all the time in the neighborhood. They're always like, you know, they got grievances. That's one of the biggest things. You know, you did this to me, and you like, oh, well, and they're like, so like, they're, you know, what's the jowls? Look at the Godfather, you know? They're like, so, and you got the grievances. In the meantime, the moment is sitting there going, hey, it's me. I'm here the moment. I got something fresh. I got a fresh moment there.
I wonder, though, for me to be in the moment has nothing to do with time. Like, I can bring up the past and be in the moment because there's no other place you can be but in the moment. When we recognize that we're in the moment, we're engaged with whatever it is we're saying, speaking, doing, or with whom we are doing it. And we become, the moment is greater in many ways when this movement is completed, the respiratory effect of a true relationship. We give and we take and we give and we take. And then that moment is constantly made up. Almost sounds like we're moving the past and the future and the present all together in one big package.
Well, there you have it. The past, the present, and the future in one big package that could be coming to your door, brought by a very happy UPS or USPS person coming to your door with the past, the present, and the future all together in one package. And we're also, but wait. Besides that package of them all wrapped up together, we're going to give you a little bonus. And here to talk about that bonus is Professor Umbridge. What's the bonus tonight, Professor, on the package?
Good evening. I'm so delighted that you were able to bring me on, and especially to extol the virtues and the value of the add-on to the package. You know, what you'll get if you order that package is you'll get two of them. Exactly. And you're probably asking yourself, what do I need with two packages of past, present, and future all wrapped up in the package? I've already got a package of them. Well, guess what? You can give one away. That's right. You'll be making someone so delightfully happy when you present them their own personal package, a past, present, future, all wrapped up in one glorified moment of possibility that they could engage with, knowing that they have the package and the package has them. By Jove, I made all that up.
You did a good job. Very good job. Very good job, old chap.
Thank you so much. I love hearing that I've done a good job. Good job.
I have to talk about something that someone I spoke to today was very sweet. I asked her name, and she, let's say her name was Bravo, and I said Bravo, and immediately she said B as in boy, R as in Robert, A as in apple, V as in Victor, O as in orange. And then she proceeded to give me some information, and the date that she of the card expiration, let's say, was 07/19. And I said, "You work in an office, don't you?" She said, "Yes, how did you know?" I said, "Because only someone who works in an office would appreciate having something spelled so carefully to them and not being told 7/19, but 07/19, because that's the way you record it." And so immediately, by recognizing her and what she was doing, we entered into a totally different relationship. And she was so much fun to talk to, and we would just have this really fun repartee. But I got her. She felt gotten, and that's what made it happen.
Okay, whoa, not so fast. I know you're making it up. as you go along. But when you got someone, when you get someone, we need to, yes, unpack that.
Okay.
It's to like, get someone is, well, let me do my version.
Okay, you do your version.
My version. To get someone is to allow the full presence of who they are and what they stand for and what they're trying to communicate. You see it and you accept it. And they see that you get it and accept it.
But not, in this case, not just accept, but appreciate. Well, really appreciate that. I appreciated where she was coming from. And she could feel that I truly was in joy around it.
So you had the acceptance appreciation combo.
That's right.
Yeah, that was good. Listen, speaking of July 19th, tomorrow, July 19th, Michelle and I will have been living here at Lupin Lodge for 4 years.
Right.
We came just prior to that, I think it could have been as early as the night before. We woke up and we didn't know where we were going to sleep or live the next day.
Well, it wasn't that dire because we left before we finished where we were sleeping and going. We came down here to visit to find out if we could live here.
I like making it dire.
Well, okay. If you like making it dire, you've got it. And you made it up, so you can have it.
Don't get me started on unpacking dire. It's just not a place I want to unpack tonight. What I'd like to do, though.
But the 4 years is what it's about. For 4 years, we've been here, and we've been... Errol, I have to say Errol is more a naturist, which means somebody who likes being naked than I am. I like swimming naked. I like being in water naked, whatever.
And not so much in air.
And sunbathing, okay. I don't like walking around in normally without clothes on. Errol, I don't have to worry about Errol being at Lupin because I know he won't be picked up by the police and told to put on clothes because he doesn't have to do that here. He can just be naked.
So we came here as a safeguard because Rochelle saw that I was intent on being naked no matter what.
And that was dangerous. I mean, he made it up as he went along or took it off as he went along.
You made that up.
I did.
All right. Well, let's ponder that thought here and see what else we want to unpack.
You made it up that time. That was a group called The Names, singing You Made It Up.
Beautiful song. Speaking of Lupin, or celebrating any there, I went, before we did our radio program tonight, up to the pool area, and the late afternoon light, up in that area, there's like this meadow, and then these trees, and the light comes through it, and there's this fence around it made up of thin logs, you know, like that big, 3 inches. And I was standing there by that fence, and I realized I could be almost anywhere by a log fence in some kind of wooded area almost any time in history, almost, you know, anywhere, probably. And it gave me a sense of connection with history, with other people, other places, other times. And I sat there and I was wondering, am I making that up? And are they also making it up?
Who's they?
All the people from all the other times that have had an experience of standing by a wooden fence at sunset.
You make it up through your perception of that. Mm. See, you have the one picture and somebody else has the other picture. And I realize that each person, each one of us, you know, make up this society to be an integral part of the whole. We allow ourselves to be an integral part of the whole, respecting all the parts. And that's how quality happens.
You make that up?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I made it up.
That's how quality happens. So quality is that which contributes to the beautiful, the workable, and what I want to say.
Truth, beauty, goodness.
Beauty, yeah. Mm-hmm. Beauty.
Yeah. That's quality.
But it's interesting when I think about people who argue from a scientific point of view that, you know, everything is conceived by the brain, and it's all happenstance out of this evolutionary thing, which was an accident, but somehow find itself getting more and more organized and more complex. That something comes out of our experience that is the recognition of beauty and appreciation for aesthetics. And like now, I'm looking out the window, and I see the sun as it goes down shining on the big trees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very energizing to experience that. And so I wonder if aesthetics is something that can be produced by some atomic and molecular exchange, or if it transcends that and actually comes from another place to meet us.
I think that every human being on the planet has within them the capacity for awe. And the awesome is always beautiful. It's awesome. I mean, that's what makes it beautiful, the fact that it's awesome. Well, maybe not. Maybe some things can be awesome that are terrible. Okay, I think all beauty is awesome, but not all awesomeness is beauty.
There you go. Thanks for that distinction. We like that, don't we, when we make these kind of distinctions?
Yes, because I made it up.
So when it comes to choice, so here's another interesting kind of metaphysical challenging problem. It's all one. We're all unified. And yet we have choice. We can go here. We can go there. But it's all done within the container of free will. In other words, the will has been freely bestowed on all reality. And will is what drives each moment into the next moment. And so there's this.
Boy, you have to chew that a lot before you can digest it.
I recommend using Vegisol when you chew it, because Vegisol has all these vegetables and salt. And so when you chew what I just said, I don't know what I said. Maybe someone could help
me.
He
swallowed it already.
what was I saying? Who wants to come?
Something will, something about.
Oh, Rabbi, of course. Well, it's the whole mishpoka, the whole thing, like the family.
and people get together and they eat and they play and they celebrate themselves and life, and that's as it should be. That is quality. It's people coming together in joy and singing and dancing and realizing as bad as it can be if we're able to come together and sing and dance together in our moment, then it's not all bad.
I know you made that up, and I love it, though.
It's something that I think is true, the singing and the dancing and the laughing.
Well, just because it's true doesn't mean you made it up.
I have to think about that. It's true.
I mean, it's there, the singing and the dancing, but you made up how it affects you and what it's about and added to a philosophical realm. And so you did all that.
I did that. Hey, I'm a doer of that. I feel like a mensch. I did all that. And here I was thought I was making a comment, and I find out that I get to do all that. I get to make it up. That is so good.
It is good.
It is good. And this is someone else who's going to help us appreciate making it up. This person is called Shura.
You sure?
Am I sure? Good. Make it up, I sure. You can change your mind. For example, if you have a mindset that's like not really thinking about going out to go raw so you can nutritionalize your body and make it taste good in the taste buds place, you can change your mind. And do that tomorrow. You can go to Safeway or Costco or Trader Joe's. You can come over to our house. And we'll make sure we have some for you. But give us a call.
Yeah, do call first.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because naked people live here.
Naked people do live here. That was what was so lovely, this scene by the pool. They were singing songs and their guitars. And some people were naked. Some people were not.
They have to all be naked at the pool.
No, they were outside in the grassy area. Look at Rochelle, she got so
I'm the hospitality director. She's I make sure people are doing what they're supposed to be.
Right. And she gets on me. She says, oh, did you change and fix the yurt up yesterday? Why didn't you call the office? And our friend here, she was so good. She says, Rochelle, you're off work. He's off work. We're having dinner together. That's the that's one of the downsides of living and working here is that, you know, it's all part of the same story. But I think, and this is very important to remember, if you remember that it's just a story, all of it, we make it all up. It's just a story that we're telling ourselves and how who we are as the character in that story. But I want to go back to what I first wanted to approach earlier. If I am the outgrowth of a universe that is moving toward greater complexity and consciousness, and I emerge as a point of view in that miraculous system, because my point of view is uniquely its own, and I don't think I could have a point of view if I weren't aware of myself, being self-aware, having the point of view. It was like it wouldn't count. It would just be being the awareness of the point of view. But when you have a knowing of yourself, and especially when you know that that self, by its very nature and definition, is a part of the permanent love waxing and waning forth in the universe through this unbelievably making it up process called
you
evolution.
You made that up.
Called evolution. I wanted to finish.
Well, you took a whole bunch of things that other people might have said or that you read, but you put it all together and made it up for yourself.
Constantly.
Yes. When you said that becoming self-aware, it's interesting that you can't stop at any point and try to keep everything together in that place because we're always moving and changing and growing and expanding. So you become self-aware and then you get so into yourself that you can't get over yourself. And so you can't keep expanding because you have no sense of getting together with others, making them part of yourself because there's just you. And the whole idea of growing is to continually merge and merge and merge so that yourself is part of this whole, totally unique. At the same time, the whole becomes unique as a result of each unique part in it.
Boy, that's an emergence if I ever heard one.
And I made it up.
So the merger and the emergence and the emergence E, see how they're all connected? You've got the merger joining, and then you've got the emergence of phenomena.
But then, E as in egg, M as in Mary, E as in egg.
But wait, then you add that Y to it. You take out the E, the end, like that E's got to go. It doesn't know where it's going to go. And so we tell it, just don't make any noise, whatever word you end up with. And that's how we came up with silent E's.
Emerge, yeah, you don't say emergee.
Right. You take, or emergency, see, emergence, then if you take the E off, see, and that's how they all become silent E's because they don't know what to do with themselves. Are you listening to me? The E's. And so they have to be silent E's.
But it's not in every language that the E is silent.
No.
I mean,
we take pride in our silent E's.
Most
here.
Latin languages, the E has a place, it has an importance. You don't say, you would say emergence.
Oh, like Italian, my friend the chef. That's all right, I'm going to be here now. And we add to a little us after each of the words that we make up. You see that I make it up? English, without English, you just don't say make up. Because if you add the up, well, then they think you're, well, Italian.
That is the best metaphor for making it up. There's all this food, and you take all this food and you put it together in a way that's never been put together before. You make it up and you make a dish, but you're using all the food that exists around you, and somebody else can use the same food and make it different, and they make it up, and that's the marvel of it all, and that's the fun of it all, I think.
That reminds me, I was studying Goethe today. Goethe, I don't know how you get Goethe out of G-O-E-T-H-E, but Goethe was like, I didn't realize this. He was to Germany what Shakespeare, to the German language, what Shakespeare is to English.
Mm-hmm.
He was that big. And one of the things the author was talking about, Goethe, is why we don't appreciate it, for one thing, because of the poetry. It's beautiful in German, but it just doesn't translate that the poetry. And because he was making this case, he went on and on about, well, he didn't really suffer. You know, it was this argument that if you're going to make great art, you have to have a suffering life. He actually had a pretty easy life. Goethe died an old man with money and great wealth. But one of the things that Goethe said was, you got to be making mistakes. That's one other reason we don't like Goethe in this country, because he says you are what you do. In order to do that, you have to be making mistakes all the time. And as the speaker pointed out, in America, we don't like making mistakes. You know, we don't want to be known to making mistakes. We want to somehow be mistake-proof. I don't know. You know why? Because if you're mistaken, you could be mistook for one of the nefarious mistaken E's. Those are not silent E's. The mistaken E's are E's that got their sound back.
He's on a rampage.
No, they got their sound back. E's, some of them.
Oh, Lordy, you have, Lord.
They had to practice a lot.
Well, there are people who believe there's no such thing as a mistake. They just believe that they're, you know, like everything is there for a purpose. I don't agree with that. I think we do blunder. There's a bunch of paths and we fall into a hole.
Isn't there a gun called the blunder bus or something like that? And I wonder if it got that name because it was like big barrel and like a trombone open-ended blunder bus or something.
Really? You're not making that up as true?
That's something we're not entirely sure of.
Okay, so blunderbuss could be a total figment of his imagination, or it could be a material reality.
Well,
but therefore, what he can make up is how he sees it, of course.
Wait a minute.
That's a given.
Wait a minute.
I just found
on the computer, look at this. I just found blunderbuss.
And?
A short-barreled, large bored gun with a flared muzzle. See, like the trombone flare. Used at short range, like right here, 6 inches.
By the time you got it out, I'd be gone.
That's all right. Anyway, but it also has another meaning, an action or a way of doing something regarded as lacking in subtlety and precision.
Lacking in subtlety and precision, all over the place.
And you know, so that's why you're inclined to blunder, because you don't have...
The bluss.
That's right, the bus. It's the bus. And it's not the
bus. Is it blunder bus or blunder bluss?
Which would you like it to be?
I don't know.
Bus. It's blunder bus.
B-U-S-S?
Yeah.
Blunder bus. That's right. Without the bus, you can't blunder.
Right. Before I leave you go, I want you to listen to, I was listening to this today. This is Kate Wolfe, and just a little flavor of Kate Wolfe tonight. And she's talking about how we are, well, brother warriors. It's a sweet, poignant song.
Gentle warrior, with your heart like gold and a rainbow in your eyes. Brave companion, do you see a world shining in the sky? With your body dancing like an arrow, spreading joy beneath your feet and your hands, the wave like tall grass in the wind as you speak. With the shyness of a small child and the wisdom of a sage, I tell you now, there is no reason to be afraid. Brother warrior, there are none of us who walk this path alone. Spirit healer, is the only life that we have ever known. And I see your smile in the sunlight. I hear your songs in the rain. And I hold you here inside me. Feel your love and know your pain. At this time when the earth is waking to the dawn of another age, I tell you now, there is no reason to be afraid.
There is no reason to be afraid. That's what she's reminding us. Gentle warrior with your heart like gold and a rainbow in your eyes. Brave companion, do you see a world shining in the sky with your body dancing like an arrow, spreading joy beneath your feet and your hands? They wave like tall grass in the wind as you speak.
Crying for a vision that all living things can share, and those who care are with us everywhere.
She may not be with us in the flesh, but she sure is with us. Her music lives on.
And it's that it's a conduit for the expression of the soul.
What's that song called?
Brother Warrior. Speaking of withheld, if I leave you with nothing else tonight as a little something I've discovered in life, when we consider all the situation in which there's animosity and emotional vituperance, is that the word? Viperance? Anyway, altercation, yelling, screaming. I'm going to suggest that it's not what we're putting out that is sourcing the problem and the contention. It's the withhold. It's what we're not expressing that's holding on to us. It could be shame, it could be doubt, whatever, conditioning, but it's not allowing us to voice that aspect, the self-doubt part of us, the low self-esteem, the frightened part of us. And since we go into resistance to that and we project that resistance out onto someone that we're having an encounter with, all the time thinking it's about the issue that they're doing or that I'm doing and that we argue over, which is why, and I did not make this up, The Course in Miracles says you're never upset for the reason you think. I made the other stuff up just back there. That was me making it up over there in the past. Don't forget your past, future, present package.
And you're saying this about making it up because we make up stuff because we're carrying baggage with us that we can't deal with. So we make up stuff to kind of hide that.
To hide it, to mitigate the potential pain that we were never able to release from the painful experience in the past because it went too deep or went too often and it became a spasm in our life of unforgiveness because of that unresolved painful moment. This is just, you know, one man's opinion.
Well, yeah, you back it up with other people's opinions as well, but I think that we still have a choice. We still have a choice.
We always have a choice. And maybe
there's that moment when the little light goes on in one's consciousness, light enough to question what we're doing, why we're doing it, why are we here, what we're about. Those existential questions, once they are voiced within our consciousness, a movement begins that never stops of revelation, unless, of course, you can't handle it. Self-revelation, spiritual revelation. But once you ask those questions, it's like a crack in the universe opens up and you start walking through. I made that up.
You did. Boy, I was so triggered to want to say things. I'm sorry that I jumped in there like that. But then jumping's my game. And while we're talking
about...
Are
you a rabbit?
I am a jumper.
Or what's the wonderful...
I was a ballet dancer. I did a lot of leaping, which is like jumping, except you go with your feet like this. It's basically jumping.
Not everybody can get to say, my husband was a ballet dancer.
Not everybody actually wants to. Some people would rather say, my husband is a great wage earner. He's a great provider. That would probably be first on me.
I would
people.
Say you have provided well. I mean, you didn't have to do it all by yourself. You had help.
Of which I needed so much. And if you want to know more about...
And happy. I was happy to help.
She was. You made that up.
Yes, I did.
I want to tell you how you can get a hold of us.
Grab hold of him.
Get a hold of me, please.
I'm too delicate.
But here we go. estrider@gmail.com.
He only says that because he likes to say it that way.
That's right.
But you can still get hold of
me. But you can still get a hold of me at estrider@gmail.com. And if you can somehow transcribe the way I say it into your email, I'll give you a bonus. I'll give you a third package of present, past, and future all rolled into one. And go to our website, The Laughing Heart. I want to thank our sponsor, Go Raw, and the fabulous twin brothers, Newsom. Oh, man, at bbsradio.com. And thelaughingheart.org. And just so
and
much.
Michelle and Errol Strider.
Right. And so given all that, Michelle, what do we need to remember?
Oh, we need to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
You make that up?
No, you did.
Oh, yeah.